This is The Mindful Leader, written by Imogen Tate, read for you by Tomas Vargas. Introduction. I want to tell you about a Tuesday morning in March several years ago in a small office on the second floor of a hospital administration building. I was sitting across from a woman named Priya. She had been a brilliant clinician for 14 years, the kind of doctor that other doctors would corner in hallways for a second opinion. 6 weeks earlier, she had been promoted to medical director of her department, and she was now overseeing 31 people, four of whom had been her direct peers a month and a half ago. She was not sleeping. She was drinking more coffee than she could metabolize. She had developed a tic, a small upward flick of her chin, whenever she was asked a question she did not know how to answer, which by her count was happening between 40 and 60 times a day. She said to me, without any particular drama, "I don't know who I am at work anymore. I had been there, on the other side of that desk, 12 years before. I had also been promoted into a role I did not feel ready for, in a hospital where the stakes felt impossibly high and the budget for getting it wrong was zero." So when Priya said that, I did not reach for a framework. I asked her what she meant. She meant that she had built her professional identity on being the smartest person in the room, the one with the answer, the one who could be counted on to grab the chart and run. The leadership job did not reward any of that. It rewarded something she did not yet have a name for, something that looked from where she was sitting like silence, like waiting, like being the person other people brought their half-formed thoughts to and then walked away from feeling clearer. She had no idea how to do that, and she did not believe she had it in her. I worked with Priya for the next 18 months. By the end of that time, she was running her department with a calm that surprised her more than anyone else. She was not a different person. She was the same Priya. She had simply learned to lead the way her actual nervous system would let her lead, instead of trying to impersonate the loud, confident, charismatic version of leadership she had been told to study. This book is for her and for you if you recognize anything in that story. I have been an executive coach for 14 years. Before that, I was, among other things, chief of staff at a teaching hospital in central London, which meant I was the person in charge of running the place when none of the doctors wanted to. I was 31 when I took the role, and I was, by some margin, the wrong person on paper. I was not the most senior. I was not the most credentialed. I had no MBA, no leadership certificate, no track record of running anything larger than a research lab. What I had was a willingness to sit with people while they figured out what they wanted to say, and a refusal to perform certainty I did not have. It turned out that those two things, in combination, were unusual enough to count as a skill. I moved to the United States in my late 30s, retrained as an executive coach, and have spent the last decade and a half working with people in the first 10 years of their leadership careers. First-time managers, second-time managers, founders whose companies had outgrown their ability to know everyone's name, team leads at biotech firms in New Jersey, at engineering consultancies in Denver, at nonprofits in Oakland, at private equity shops in Manhattan that I could not, in good conscience, have predicted I would be working with. The industries vary. The work, mostly, does not. What I have learned in those years is something I want to say clearly at the start of this book, because most of what is written about leadership obscures it. Leadership is not a personality. It is not a set of inborn traits. It is not something that the loud, tall, confident extroverts have, and the rest of you have to fake. Leadership is a practice. It is a set of habits of attention, conversation, and self-regulation that anyone can learn, that almost no one is taught, and that get easier the longer you do them. That is the whole secret. There is no other one. Most leadership advice is written for the people who already speak loudly. This book is for everyone else. I want to be honest about what this book is not. It is not a book about mindfulness in the sense that has been packaged and sold back to corporate America for the last 15 years. I am not going to ask you to download an app. I am not going to suggest that your overworked, undersupported team members would feel better if they took a 6-minute breathing break between sprints. That version of mindfulness is, at best, a coping mechanism for a structurally broken job. At worst, it is a way of moving the responsibility for the problem from the organization onto the individual, which is the oldest trick in the bad management book, and I want no part of it. What I mean by mindful, in the title of this book, is something narrower and older. I mean paying attention.